WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
It was 4:20. It was an episode of Monday Night Raw. CM Punk was in the ring with Cody Rhodes. Punk said it was easy for him to fight someone he hates. Punk said it's okay that he's technically a loser. He said heavy is the head that wears the crown. Punk said it wasn't his night on Sunday and told Cody to keep being champion. Punk looked at the belt and repeated a line. You never know when a championship opportunity is going to fall out of the sky. And then there was tonight, where a championship opportunity just fell out of the sky. We'll talk about it. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gamers, not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RockTalk or Lindsay Ward in the 49 shop because hashtag epic partner. I am the producer. She's Lindsay Ward.
Mole. Molly, 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 mole.
So at 8:09, I typed in our group chat. Imagine if Punk replaces Cody and beats Sammy. Huh. Funny how that happened. Funny how that happened. Eh?
It's almost like he's got the script or something.
Or he just watched the television and went, hey, how about that?
No. Rock definitely is getting the script. He's a WWE mole. We all know that.
Yeah. Totally.
He's on the payroll.
Well, I'm always on the payroll. Yeah. Use your primes. You'll get all the inside scoops. Anyway, we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, which took place live in Chicago. Tonight was going to be the 36th time Raw would be held in Chicago. Everyone's coming into the building. Everyone smiles. Sami Zayn drove it to the building in a convertible. Cody is backstage. Sammy's all smiles. Zayn assumed Cody thought he would take the title from him. But it wouldn't happen. Cody said that since Sammy seemed to know everything he's thinking, he confirmed that Sammy was right. Then Gunther, who was sent home, shows up. Attacks Cody Rhodes. Puts him, powerbombs him through a table. Says, you're welcome, Sammy. Gunther told Zayn that Cody is no longer his problem. He is. His. Gunther said he would be coming for Zayn. Gunther then saw Cody crawling around. Gunther kicked the driver door at Cody, who was at that point bleeding. Everyone was like, what the hell is going on? And then everyone wondered what the status of Cody Rhodes was going to be tonight on Monday Night Raw. So we got updates. Learned that that Cody Rhodes would not be clear to wrestle tonight on Monday Night Raw. But Adam Pearce confirmed to Sami Zayn that he still would be defending the WWE Championship on Monday Night Raw. But against who? Well, we would later know that Nick Aldis, who was sent home on administrative leave, found someone for Sami Zayn to fight in the main event of Monday Night Raw. And that person just happened to be CM Punk. CM Punk and Sami Zayn had a hell of a WWE Championship match. The last 10 minutes, I would say, were really good. CM Punk was over like gangbusters in Chicago, which no one, and I mean no one, was surprised by. The crowd was electric. Everyone was popping for every move, every near fall, every submission. I love that CM Punk did the Hogan ear in the corner and then took a Blue Thunder bomb from Sami Zayn. But in the end, after a Huluva kick and a GTS, CM Punk is the new undisputed WWE champion.
CM Punk winning the title in Chicago? Groundbreaking. I mean, we knew this was probably going to happen. I am happy that they just didn't pass it back to Cody. I think that would have probably been the most unimaginative thing they could have done. No offense to Cody Rhodes. But it, like, I just did not want it to go back to Cody, because I'm honestly tired of Cody as champion. So Punk defeating Sammy, taking the title, and going over to SmackDown, where they can begin to set up SummerSlam, which they kind of did tonight, where Cody can basically be like, you took my opportunity. And Punk's like, yeah, I did. What are you going to do about it? You know, and you kind of go from there. I think we'll be good. The match was very, very solid. I enjoyed it a lot. I wouldn't mind seeing it again, honestly. Really, truly wouldn't. I don't think they splashed out very hard, but then again, they didn't need to, so that's fine.
Not with that crowd. You just had to do boo yeah, big move, boo yeah, boo yeah. That's all you needed for that crowd. They would ate everything up, and that's what they did. They were a really good TV match.
Yeah, it was wham bam, thank you, ma'am. Punk wins the title. Punk leaves as champion. The crowd is over the moon about it. They're loud. They're excited that the hometown boy has won the title in his hometown. So I think all of that was really super good. I don't think it needed to be anything more than that, especially since they had kind of telegraphed some of it a little bit. I think some of us, maybe not all of us, but some of us would have liked to have seen Sammy keep the title for a little bit longer, just because, again, it is a little bit more interesting of where you go from there. But at the same time, if this is the way that they're going to get to Punk and Cody fighting at SummerSlam, so be it.
We all knew Sami Zayn as champion was not going to be long term. We didn't. We knew. No. Everyone knew. As much as you wanted him to go longer, we knew it wasn't happening. We knew they knew, like we knew, that you had to have the title change happen for the sake of it happening, just because you've gone down the well too many times of will he or won't he. You had to finally capitalize on it, and they did. Does that mean Sami will never be champion again? No, of course not. He can win the title again.
It was right place, right time, which for Sami, unfortunately, has always not been the case. It's Sami is generally wrong place, wrong time for the world title. So the fact that they had the opportunity there and they pulled the trigger and they did it is wonderful. And he can now call himself a world champion, I believe now. Is he a Grand Slam now?
He is a Grand Slam champion, yeah.
So he can now call himself a Grand Slam champion, which is amazing for him. And I think it's a very wonderful achievement, especially since I think a lot of people, when he first came in and came up, thought he wasn't going to get that far, even though we all wanted it and we've waited a long time to see it. It's an achievement for him that he made it to the top and he held the title, and nobody can take that away from him. The amount of time that he held it, it's not as important as the achievement, which is that he got to the top when everybody else thought he wouldn't. So, you know, I'm thrilled about that. Yeah, no, I don't sound thrilled, but like, I am thrilled for him that he got there. And I would like to see him hold it again in a more proper program this time, because you can get away with it one time of being short and yeah, you did the thing, great. But if he's going to go into the title picture again and he's going to win it again, give him a proper storyline. Just don't have him be sort of a stopgap. to sort of break up the monotony. That would be nice. But I won't complain about him winning the title because he definitely deserved it.
And LeMans, that's why I read the quote that I did from CM Punk 3 months ago on television, where you never know when a title opportunity will just fall out of the sky and you capitalize on it. That's what happened with him. Yes, he rallies against people to do the same thing, but you take it when you get it because, again, world title matches don't always appear so easy for some. Now he's champion. We'll see what kind of attitude he has leading the charge on SmackDown and how long he holds it over there. I would expect him to hold it a couple months, at least, until you figure out who the next champion of that brand should be. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the match. Again, Sammy should have held the title longer, but I'm not going to lose sleep over Sammy losing the belt.
Yeah.
Especially because his character can play off of it. It's not like it's going to hurt whatever his character's doing.
If anything, it helps his character because now he can kind of, if they wanted to do a three-way at SummerSlam between Cody, Punk, and Sammy, they absolutely could. Where Sammy kind of comes in as that last, you know, nice guy or good guy or whatever it is, and he does the gimmick where it's, well, you weren't supposed to be the one I was fighting, and you kind of screwed me over, so I want a rematch, and I'm going... Well, they don't have rematch clauses anymore, but I'm going to work my way into a rematch and work my way into the title match, and you could make it a three-way with Sammy, Cody, and Punk. And then that way, it's like, even if Sammy eats the pin, it helps to move the story along.
Because
it could be that...
Go ahead.
It could be that Punk and Cody kind of have to work together a little bit to get rid of Sammy. Because they don't want him in the mix.
Also, it could just end up being Cody versus Gunther and Sammy versus Punk. Or...
It's entirely plausible.
A four-way.
Or a four-way. Four-way works.
So we'll see where that one goes. The Vision were being interviewed by Jackie Redmond. Paul Heyman showed up. Heyman told Bron Breakker not to worry about the barricade thing, but he was upset that you failed to take out Seth Rollins. Austin Theory failed to take out Joe Hendry. Heyman told them, come back with something, or not to bother coming back. So it was the Street Profits taking on Bron Breakker and Austin Theory for the World Tag Team titles. And then the second shock of the evening, because Cody being attacked was the first. Maxxine Dupri helps her man Austin Theory win with a low blow to Angelo Dawkins, allowing the Vision to once again become the World Tag Team Champions. I was a little shocked that they changed the titles.
Especially since the Street Profits just won them back. That was a little surprising.
I want to answer LeMans. LeMans is very sarcastic. I feel like these titles are used for story progression now.
I mean, isn't that what they're always for?
That's what all championships are for. Story progression. There was a lot of sarcasm in that. Anyway, yeah, that's what they are for. Anyway. The match was good. I was surprised Maxxine, they finally pulled the trigger, which they needed to, because you were dragging it on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
You had to pull it.
It's kind of a now or never on the Vision. It's struggling. It's failing. I think the injection of Maxxine into the situation is to recover it, especially since Heyman sort of washed his hands of the Vision and has moved back to Brock. So they won't even have Heyman's backing anymore. So you have a manager in Maxxine, and she can be there, and she can sort of do things.
I mean, Heyman saw them backstage, said it was the first step. He said he was being too harsh, but at least someone accomplished something tonight. Theory thanked Heyman, and Heyman was like, I was talking about her. She did something. You guys, we'll see. And the best part of the segment, they drive away. And the camera pans, Otis and Akira Tozawa panning over, and they're all sad. The girl left them. They left. Maxxine left the good boys high and dry.
You know, you gotta follow the money sometimes. And I love Otis. I love Tozawa. But that gimmick had long run its course.
Oh, yeah.
And the second that whole group broke up and Chad Gable went off and did his own thing once the feud had finally ended, there was literally nothing for them to do. They were just kind of sort of comedic plants at best. And so
I'm happy for her that they are moving her into a story where she's going to be used. I think this will play to her strengths better, especially since her run as a babyface, it's sort of kind of floundered a little bit. And she kind of had that high point where it's like she's getting bullied and we all rallied behind her and she got her big win and we were all happy for her. And then she's just sort of faded back into obscurity. Now she can go kind of pick up the heel gimmick and be the bad girl with Austin Theory. And she can run that for a while and she can inject some relevance into the Judgment Day, into the Vision as it needs. I don't think Theory and Maxine are basically Liv and Dom. I don't think that's what that is.
But you just backed up LeMann's point with the
slip of
the tongue.
Because I was reading his comment as I was talking. But yeah, it's the thing is how much longer is the Judgment Day going to last?
17 years.
Like, they have to end it at some point.
You do not have to end it at some point. It can go on and on, my friends. They start it with Seeing Clearly one day, and then it went on and on, my friends, with all these different characters.
Let's see what they do with it, because I think Maxine is not going to be as cunning as what Liv is, and that's going to be the key difference. Liv is kind of the one that's driving the Judgment Day, whereas Maxine, I think, is going to be a background player, and she's going to be off to the side with Theory. Now that could change, and they could make her the leader of the group, and she kind of walks up to Heyman and be like, go F yourself, I'm taking control. And then she takes them off and she does whatever with them. But like, I don't think that's going to be what happens.
That's never going to happen. Never, ever going to happen.
Have a group takeover is literally just like them, is not problem solving. What else do they have? Like, here's the problem. The Vision was supposed to be something really, 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 really different. And this is what it has evolved into, because people have gotten hurt. People have been forced out of the group. They've spun, like, it. Seth was supposed to be leading this. This was supposed to be Seth's thing. It didn't work. Like, Seth was not getting over. The group was not getting over. And so they spun Seth out and they put Seth back in singles, and he's recovering and he's doing his own thing. You had strength there for a while, and then Bronson and Braun and Logan Paul, and everybody else has gotten hurt in that group. I think the only one that has not gotten injured is Austin Theory. And that has just absolutely killed their momentum and their identity and what they're going to do and what they're going to be. And I agree, the group is lost. The group is muddled because they don't have anything for them. Because I think you can't keep people healthy enough to really do anything overly creative with them. Like, I think, especially in terms of your mic skills, Bronson Reed might be, well, Logan Paul. But like, between Logan and Bronson, they're kind of your strongest talkers in that group.
Oh, we'll see where it ends up going.
Yeah. I think this is the last ditch attempt on them.
I don't know. No, Chad's going to win the Intercontinental title. They're not reuniting. If they do reunite, it's not going to be as a group. It'll just be mending fences, move on. Chad's on his own.
Yeah, you don't reunite them. It's
because then you just wasted 3 years of story.
Yeah. Keep Chad singles, have Chad make amends, tie up that loose end with Tozawa and Otis, and Chad moves on. Tozawa and Otis, I don't even know what you do there.
Keep eating catering. Anyway, the Women's Intercontinental Championship was on the line. Sol Ruka, Raquel Rodriguez, good match. Sol Ruka, with help from the Judgment Day, that backfired, retained her title. Io Sky made the save at one point. Solid match. Continues the feud between Liv and Io Sky, setting up SummerSlam. It'll be Roxanne versus EO next week on Monday Night Raw, which should be really good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a standard Judgment Day match with the interference. The only, you know, difference is, hey, it didn't work this time. So, yay, there is that. That's a change. But, yeah, very good match until the interference. And then it's like, oh, hey, look, there it is. Like, you just wait for it at this point. You know it's coming.
There is a gauntlet for the number one contendership for the Intercontinental Championship next week on Monday at Raw. And four of the men were in action tonight. Ethan Page and Rusev took on Chad Gable and Dragon Lee. Ethan Page and Rusev won when Dragon Lee tapped out. It was a really good match for what they were given. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, Rusev wouldn't release the hold. Gable made the save. Joe Henry made a save. But in the end, Rusev and Ethan Page stood tall.
Really, really, really good match.
It was very, very enjoyable. Paul Heyman came to the ring. He said there was no way Oba Femri would come out of the cell. He said Brock would destroy Oba in Hell in a Cell. Simple, easy, that's it. Oh, wait, here comes Oba Femri. Oba says Paul Heyman just loves to talk. Heyman gave Oba credit for beating Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Then he happened to even the score. Then we shift to Hell in a Cell. Heyman said Lesnar was the UFC heavyweight champion. He said no one fights inside a cage like Brock Lesnar. He said Lesnar beating Undertaker twice in Hell in a Cell matches. Heyman told Oba that Lesnar is the mountain that he can't climb. Heyman said there were only one man who would leave SummerSlam with the reputation intact. That would be Brock Lesnar. Heyman goes to leave. Oba said Lesnar saying that he doesn't watch the show, but clearly he showed up last week means he does in fact watch the show. Oba said Heyman brought up Randy Couture and The Undertaker, but they're not him. Oba said this is the end, and this is where the book closes. Oba said when he said he would beat Brock Lesnar in front of his friends, family, wife, and children in Minneapolis, and said you have to walk through hell to get to heaven. So tell your client I'll see him in hell. Pretty good.
Really good. Really enjoyable in terms of the comments and the back and forth. Like, I like how Oba is just like, I don't care. I am not afraid of you. I am not afraid of Brock. I am not afraid of anything he's done in the past. None of that is going to have an impact on me in this match. And it's very much sending the signal Brock needs to be ready. Because mm-hmm. Oba's going to bring the fight.
There's a good video interview with Bayley setting up a face-to-face confrontation with Lyra Valkyria next week on Raw. I enjoyed it. She talked all about the history. It was good stuff.
It was really good stuff, yeah. Like, it was a good showing for Bayley.
Monday Night Raw, though, in ring number one with Seth Rollins. He talked about how loving this building. They chanted for CM Punk and told him to get out of the system because he doesn't care about that guy right now because it's just not his business right now. His business is to continue to own Roman Reigns. He informed the crowd that Roman isn't here. Roman said he didn't like it either. Rollins said from day one, Reigns has been the chosen one. He said nobody wants to hold Reigns accountable. He said the Shield debuted as a trio. It was abundant and clear that Reigns was the chosen one. Rollins said it didn't matter if Reigns couldn't cut a promo or Russell's way out of the wet paper bag. Rollins said it didn't sit right with him. He just saw some kid in the crowd. I was that kid. And yes, that holding kid was 5 years old. He said, yeah, all he wanted to do was walk that down that entrance ramp, hold this microphone, get in this ring, main event WrestleMania, and be the biggest star in the industry. Those were his dreams, and it broke something in him when he had to watch it all handed off to someone else. He said the decisions he made after that were in direct response to everything being handed to someone who didn't deserve it. He talked about how he worked 10 times harder than Roman Reigns, yet made 10 times more. Roman was making 10 times more. Rollins said it made him want to puke. He said the reward for him was the work, the hustle, and the grind. Rollins said Reigns has to beat him at SummerSlam because he's been trying to prove to himself that he's not a fraud for the last 16 years. Rollins said he needs to prove to the kid in the crowd that through hard work and sacrifice, you could still achieve greatness. Yeah. LA Knight shows up. He said he wasn't going to stand in this ring for two straight weeks while Reigns and Rollins bored everyone with the same old crap. I earned this, you did this, yada yada. He went back and forth, which was really funny. Knight said there was a good cheat code for Rollins to come out and talk about how great he is and how Reigns were to get the title shot. You're great, everyone's great. Yeah. Knight said he missed when you had to earn a title shot. Funny how that plays out. Knight said Rollins is an Iron Man. He said that Rollins had so many title shots over the years that he'll never catch up with him. He said when this business peaked, it wasn't Reigns or Rollins. He gave a little credit to Cody Rhodes, but he also recalled his own success until the bloodline cut him off. He said the same thing happened when they ran into the Vision. LA Knight spoke of Rollins and Reigns being from the greatest generation, but he said they can't stop and won't stop him. Rollins asked, you done? Rollins says he doesn't like LA Knight, but he respects him. Rollins said Knight is the hard work, hustle, and grind that he just described. Rollins said Knight's time will come, but he can't worry about him because he has to go to SummerSlam to take the title he never lost. Rollins said once he regains the title, Knights can step up to him and become the first person that Rollins puts in the dirt. Rollins leaves. Jimmy Uso's in the ring. LA Knight turns around, eats a super kick. Jimmy told LA Knight to keep his family's name out of his mouth. Later in the evening, Jackie Redmond. Let me sum it up because it's the last little bit. Later in the evening, Jackie Redmond was trying to interview Jimmy Uso. He said, I guess I'm going to SmackDown to take care of Solo. You see LA Knight walk up. Jacob Fatu attacks LA Knight and leaves him laying. Now go.
I mean, based on the news that we heard today, I'm waiting for somebody else to bring something up in regards to the family, but I don't think they will.
Yeet.
The promo was good. Like, the promo was fine. It was good. It was very nice back and forth, and you do see the potential between a Seth LA Knight program, not right now, but at some point. I can definitely see the two of them mixing it up and having some really epic promo battles. At this point, with the Usos and the whole keep my family's name out of your mouth thing that's been happening since Punk, I don't know how I feel about it. It just feels sort of lame. Like, you're injecting them into the situation when they don't necessarily need to be there. If that makes sense.
The man's Jacob Fatu is pretty much the enforcer for the bloodline, I think. Mainly. Just this is called a hunch. So he can recover from whatever injury he suffered leading into his last match with Roman Reigns, because Jacob has not wrestled since then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're keeping it very cautious with Jacob for what he does. And not having fully... He's done some stuff, but he hasn't done a lot of things. So... I would just like put that out there.
Yeah, they're clearly, you know, keeping Jacob on the sidelines for obvious reasons in terms of he may not be 100% healthy, but he can still play a role on TV and they can hide the injury that way. So that's good news for him. But it's like, is every time somebody talks shit about Roman, are the Usos or Jacob going to come out and beat him up?
When Roman's not on TV, yeah.
Is that how we play this? Like, to me, it just feels weak, because it's like, are you that thin-skinned that every time somebody has Roman's name in their mouth, say something about him, you're going to have to go out there and be like, you know, don't talk about my family, and they beat them up. It's like, you know what? If you're Roman Reigns, why do you care? If you're the bloodline, why do you care? They want to talk shit? Let them talk shit, because we can back up everything in the ring. Roman can back up every single insult that has ever been given to him. He can shut them all up in the ring. He doesn't need to go out there and throw hands and, you know, basically cry about it every time somebody insults him. And I don't feel like the bloodline should be necessarily doing the same thing. Or whatever they're called now, because I don't even know what to call them. I guess we'll just call them the bloodline, because that's it.
It's the bloodline, yes.
And so, yeah, but he seemed more nuanced when he first confronted Solo, but it seems like he's just becoming more like Solo than his own person. Not talking, just giving looks and jumping people. Bad looks and giving... Yeah.
It's the writing. It's what it is. They're keeping his appearances short. That's what they're...
They're building to something. What that is, I don't know, but they're building to something. And we have to kind of have faith that whatever it is, it's going to be good. And I think they have to get past SummerSlam before they can really kick it off. Because the trio that is the Usos and Jacob, they can't really do anything until Jacob is fully healthy and cleared. And they also can't do anything if Roman is going to be around. Like, if they're going to be Roman's representatives when he's not there, which is potentially not, is like after SummerSlam, he's kind of done and he's going to walk away for a while again, then they really can't start doing what they're supposed to do until he's gone. Because you have that pain point, and that's really where that pain point is going to come from in that group. Is I think the way that they're going to tell the story is Jacob is going to start to assert himself, especially as the leader. Like, I think Jay or Jimmy are going to expect it to be one of them when Roman leaves, and Roman's going to look at Jacob and be like, you run the show. Because Roman has the past experience with Jay and Jimmy to know that they can't necessarily handle it. And the behavior that we're kind of seeing right now could play into that.
Becky Lynch, Sami Zayn was robbed.
I mean, yeah, he does have more personality and he is fading into the background. But I think part of that is just he can't do as much as they want him to right now.
Also, MLB Twitter, the summer of CM Punk Part 2 at new undisputed WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Ding!
We'll see how it plays out. When it comes to Jacob Fatu, let it play out.
I'm willing to give it a chance. I'm willing to see it through. I think no one really had high expectations for the story when Jacob lost. We didn't have high expectations beforehand. Like, I think a lot of us saw this for what it was, which is Bloodline 2. And that seems to be sort of where we're going with it. But maybe they'll do something different. Like, I kind of have to have faith in the writers right now, but I don't really have a ton of faith in the Raw writers. Just because a lot of stuff is very muddled, it's very lost, it's very sort of mid-range. You're not having a lot of peaks right now. And that could just be because we're pre-SummerSlam and they'll start building again. Because we're kind of in that slow summer sort of season where SummerSlam's the big one and they build to that. And then we kind of go back into that valley again. But yeah, at least for Raw, the writing is just kind of eh. So we'll see if they can pick it back up.
Well, that would do it for the Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday Night, The Rack is live, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll have things.
College Football 27 review this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern on The Rack.
That's right.
Be there. We'll talk about it and more Thursday. Saturday night, we're back for CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And they'll be back Sunday for Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we ask the question. This is where I'm stalling because I gotta remember what actually I created. Because this one's been planned for a bit. How did I phrase this? This Sunday on WTR Sunday Night, what is the all-time greatest SummerSlam main event? Tune in. We debate it. And crown it this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. When we're all in, we're live to talk about it. It's at Wild Talk Raiders, Facebook.com, it's Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Game, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. Like the man's did. And support the channel for free. You could use credit card Rock and Sock or
Lynn's M-word.
In the Fortnite Item Shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero.
This has been the Raw Pro Show. But as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG12. We'll see you Thursday for the Rack and right back here every Monday night. Alone Darius of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.